Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us and our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 89 is once again being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So once again, we are broadcasting. Actually, we're recording this late Saturday morning. What's today?
19th? Today's the 19th.
December 19th, but we are in beautiful Lawrenceville, Georgia. Clear skies, a little cool, sunny. It's going to be a great day.
Thank you for the weather update.
Yes, as always.
We just need to get you a blue screen so you can start pointing out the map.
Oh, yeah. We could get somebody else to be the weather person. I was going to say weather girl, but that would be sexist. So we could get somebody else to be the weather person.
Okay.
But yeah. So we're trying to get this episode recorded because Jen, one of our marketing managers, is heading out of town for the holidays, right?
Yep, exactly. So this will be our holiday episode.
Holiday episode number 89, People, Pets, and Vets. So, quick word of the week. I started researching some hypersensitivity reactions because of the new COVID vaccine that's out, and I really wanted to make sure I was educated, and immunology is a very big subject. Hypersensitivity reactions, very big subject.
Well, it's like multimodal as well, right? So it's not just immunology, but it's like epidemiology. There's biochemistry. There's like all of these.
Well, there's a lot. Yeah.
Other things that come into this realm.
There's a lot to it. And so the reason I wanted to talk about this is I think a day after the Pfizer COVID vaccine came out, I saw on Yahoo's homepage, one of the top five news stories was a lady in Alaska that had an allergic reaction to COVID vaccine.
Yes.
And so we have one, you know, an N of one, and it made the front page of Yahoo News. So
it's interesting. Yeah.
I mean, people.
Social media is like blown up with memes and TikTok videos and jokes about the vaccines and essentially the reactions or the adverse events that are happening or could possibly be happening, I guess, because I don't really know if it's true or if it's just people making fun or...
I think of the memes, it's people making fun. You know, the TikTok videos, it's people making fun. But absolutely, people are going to have vaccine reactions to COVID vaccine. It may be an immediate, acute, or even anaphylactic type reaction, which is the word of the week, by the way, anaphylaxis. Or it may be very mild, just a mild fever, malaise, you don't feel good. But, you know, in our industry, we definitely try to coach our pet parents that once we administer, you know, a vaccine or multiple vaccines, there is a possibility their pet could experience the same type of reactions, right?
Of course, yeah.
So within an hour or two, they could have an anaphylactic type reaction. Usually it's within 30 minutes to where their blood pressure drops to nothing. They you know, cardiovascular wise, they're super hypotensive. They don't feel good. They collapse. They start vomiting. I mean, these pets are super sick and it's very obvious. Typically, we give epinephrine, maybe some steroid, sometimes some IV fluids. We get them back to being stable and all is well. And then we kind of backtrack, to your point, epidemiologically almost, to look back at what we gave and what do we need to do, what was the cause and the effect. And so that's a severe reaction. And certainly people could have that same reaction to COVID. We more commonly see, instead of that immediate anaphylactic type 1 reaction, we will see a delayed, I think it's also like a cell-mediated immunity. So not to get deep into it, because I know I'm going to misspeak, but immediate type 1 anaphylactic vaccine reactions, IgE, is the immunoglobulin typically involved. And so it's more of a blood type of immunoglobulin reaction. Whereas some of these more delayed reactions are cell-mediated. They happen out in the tissues to where you get like an urticarial reaction, a rash, redness. That tends to be, again, more cell-mediated. But then you have all this in between.
Of course.
And so the most common reaction we see at the clinic is going to be to leptovaccine, mm-hmm. because in that leptospirosis vaccine, it is the only vaccine that we give that has a protein component. I think. Does Lyme? Lyme is the OSP.
It depends on which Lyme vaccine you're using, I think. Yeah. But the one that we use, to your point, is an OSP.
Yeah. So back to lepto. I mean, the other viral vaccines are typically killed or modified live. Lepto has a little bit of protein in it, and the body does not like foreign protein injected into it often. And so we will see these pets develop a swollen muzzle. Is the most
usually
common.
Usually facial swelling.
Yeah, yep. And it's a little bit of a delayed reaction, typically 6 to 8 hours after vaccine. So, going off on a rampage rant, I know, but vaccine reactions are real. They are going to happen. If you are afraid to take the COVID vaccine or any vaccine because of the reaction, then you need to kind of weigh benefit versus risk. And
which is exactly what the FDA does when they are pushing these vaccines out. So, anybody that thinks that there's a vaccine out there that is 100% safe is absolutely wrong. It's a calculated risk that the FDA takes every time a vaccine or even, honestly, a pharmaceutical drug enters the marketplace.
Anything can cause a reaction, an adverse effect.
I know you've seen commercials, right? So, like, you pick it, you know, new drug on the TV commercials, and, like, suddenly after they show you this very, emotional short
warnings,
video.
This drug may cause, and then a list of 100 things in about a 20-second time.
Listing exactly so fast. Yeah. It's like, what are they, the callers? What are the people that do that, the auctioneers? So fast. You can't even listen to it. But it's a well-known fact in the medical industry that, to your point, these adverse events, unfortunately, they're going
to
happen.
So to further expound on that, I agree. You know, anybody that thinks that any vaccine is 100% safe in every individual, that's not true. Anybody that thinks that any vaccine is 100% efficacious, has 100% efficacy, that is also not true.
Right.
And that's because...
And we deal with the same kind of arguments in animal medicine all the time, right? So people who, you know, to board with us, we have a boarding requirement that their dog, you know, needs to be vaccinated or current on the influenza vaccine or the Bordetella vaccine. And there's sometimes pushback with people who are, they're like, oh, well, you know, I don't know, that you're not protecting my dog against every single strain, so why vaccinate the dog?
Correct,
so
but we're protecting
what we can.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we do see dogs get, you know, we used to call it kennel cough kind of broadly, but now we call it canine respiratory disease complex because we know it's not just Bordetella, which we do vaccinate. It's not always parainfluenza or influenza. It can be mycoplasma, strep, other bacteria.
Yeah.
So, again, we live in a very gray world.
It's very gray, yes.
I'm excited that the COVID vaccine is here. I think it's interesting you have some of these, you know, big public figures that are being videotaped while they get the vaccine.
Yeah.
Do you really think they're getting the vaccine, or could some of them be getting like a saline injection?
So that's interesting that you say that, because I don't know where it was, but I watched this video. I guess it was somebody on my Facebook friends list posted this, and it was someone getting a video or an injection with an empty syringe, and they showed, they even got a close up, and like it was a tuberculin syringe that was empty. So they poked them with a needle.
They push on the air?
No, there was nothing.
Oh, there was just nothing.
The plunger was already depressed. So they push on the plunger as if there's something in there, and then they extracted it. And so I do think there's going to be stuff like that. But also, I mean, I don't know. The editing and things like that that are out there, and these people are geniuses when it comes to this stuff.
Right.
I mean, you just...
I think the public figures are trying to, you know, get out in front of us to let us know that they're, you should
be
vaccinated. I'm taking
it.
The vaccine.
Yeah.
Right. It should be safe. Hopefully it's going to be, you know, as effective as they are saying. And it's going to be, you know, just another level of protection and safety precaution that kind of as a society we can take.
Yeah. And to your point on social media, right, it's not all bad. There are some, you know, human ER doctors that I've seen that are on there, they're filming themselves as well. And then they're basically putting out a testimonial, like, I got this vaccine, and they're saying why, right? Like, for their families, for their patients, so that their coworkers don't have to take on more burden when they're out, all of these things. So again, just if you're going to do like anything, right, just educate yourself, be as smart as possible when you're making decisions.
So back to the vaccine reactions, back to our word of the week, anaphylaxis. I didn't really do the breakdown of the word because quite honestly I don't know what it means off the top of my head.
Where's but, that dictionary when we need it?
Anaphylaxis is an acute, potentially life-threatening type 1 hypersensitivity reaction involving the sudden IgE-mediated release of histamine mediators from mast cells and basophils in response to a trigger. For instance, food, vaccine, insect sting, medication. So these are the potentially life-threatening reactions.
Sure.
Most of the other, the delayed, the, you know, the other types are not. So hope that, I don't know, at least maybe educated or spurs some thoughts with
real
people
quick
listening.
Before we move on, there's also a lot of talk now that the human vaccine has been kind of pushed to market if there will be a pet vaccine, which I think is very interesting because there is not really a dog and a cat vaccine aside from rabies that we can really share. Right. So like the dogs and cats, right? So we don't vaccinate cats and dogs both against Bordetella. We don't vaccinate both cats and dogs against
We do leptin. Rabies, but it's a different vaccine technology, right? I mean, it's not the same vaccine.
Yes. Units. So I think it's super interesting that people are asking and lump summing, like, is there going to be a vaccine for pets or animals? Not like, is there going to be a cat vaccine? Is there going to be a dog vaccine?
It was, I believe it was Zoetis that came out with the first patient side COVID test for pets, but you know, I think they had the technology in their back pocket and they just went ahead and, you know, pushed it out, but there's no reason for us to test them.
Well, IDEXX came out early on, you know, May, June sometime and said that they have the ability as well. But again, to your point, there's not a whole lot of benefit right now into testing animals.
But Zoetis used to be Pfizer, right? And they spun off, that's the animal health side of the old Pfizer. And I feel like we did talk about it in episodes past that they had a conditional vaccine that came out for pets with dental disease trying to to help prevent the bacterial infection that we felt like caused a lot of the periodontal disease. And so it wound up being pretty safe. But after I think a year or so,
the
results did not show that it was super effective. And so it left the market. So FDA, I think, has done a really good job. They've been pretty speedy. And then they will monitor the safety and the efficacy of the vaccine and
there's still ongoing trials, I'm pretty sure, for like children.
So the
and pregnant women.
Moderna, is that the other that did get a conditional
license,
as well? So that should be coming to market. And very interesting, right? So the Pfizer has to be kept at a super low temperature, and then it requires two doses, I believe. I believe they're recommending 4 weeks apart. And then the Moderna vaccine does not have to be stored quite as critically cold. But my understanding is it's only one vaccine.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I wonder what happens if you mix, right? And we often will talk about that in our industry if we mix vaccines from one manufacturer with another.
Yeah.
So I don't know the technology or the difference between the two vaccines, but just something that kind of makes you say,
Of course.
So, okay. Real quick, weekly news roundup. And the source for this is Tony McReynolds from AHA. The most interesting story, we've talked about this before, the honeybees, especially in Asia, that are attacked by the giant killer hornets. Is that what we're calling them?
Is it killer hornets? Yeah.
And so those killer hornets have been found in the U.S., and basically they get into a honeybee.
Murder
hornets.
Yeah, I was like, why does that sound weird? It's the murder hornets that they were talking about.
So they get in, so these murder hornets get into the honeybee hive and they brutally just like decapitate every bee that they encounter and just kill every bee they can. And then they'll feast on the bee's larva. And then I guess they move on to another hive. And so I read and brought up a story that it was really cool that the honeybees kind of have evolved, at least some of them, certainly not all. They figured out that if one of these murder hornets gets in the hive, if they swarm it with a massive number of honeybees and they all start doing their vibrating thing, that they can kill this murder hornet due to the heat that they're emitting. And so, I mean, that's really cool evolution. Not really mutation, because that's not a genetic mutation.
So essentially roasting them.
A like, cool adaptation, right?
Yeah,
and so,
very cool.
And probably what happens is that murder hornet gets in the hive and it takes them a little while to realize, and I don't know what, you know, who switches the light switch to make the red light come on and say, kill the murder hornet. But recently, some research out of Vietnam, in studying many of these hives that these murder hornets are trying to get in or have gotten in, the honeybees, have come up with a second line of defense. And what that is whenever they sense that a murder hornet is near, and I'm not sure how they sense this, but the study was they took like the odor scent of the murder hornet and put it by the hive, and all of a sudden this defense mechanism kicked in.
Oh, wow.
So maybe when they're, you know, scoping it out. Bottom line is the honeybees, it's hard to keep all my insects straight here, but the honeybees start coating the entrance to the hive with their dung or feces. And for some reason, that is a detractant for the murder hornet.
That's interesting.
So, you know, in the wild, and I guess domestically as well, animals will mark their territory, urine and feces.
Pheromones.
And so, yeah, there's got to be some kind of, obviously there's an odor, but a pheromone, there's something that tells this murder hornet, maybe it's like, you know, this is a very evolved hive that if I go in there, it will kill me. So maybe, you know, maybe the murder hornet is kind of evolving to say, ah, this is not the hive for me to go into. I don't know.
That's interesting.
But it's super cool that just happens naturally, you know?
Yeah.
So that was the most interesting story I had.
So actually, on the same thing that you printed out, I didn't know this and I wasn't reading it, but, you know, we talk a lot about, we try not to talk a lot about politics, but politics unfortunately have been forced upon us in this nation this year. But not all things.
Some of us enjoy politics.
Yeah, but not all things are all about COVID and the presidents and that kind of thing. So
right.
On the same article that you printed out, there was a bipartisan bill passed last week to ban the ownership of big cats. So I know you remember us talking earlier this year about Tiger King and how it flooded Netflix, and, you know, he was basically going to kill Carol Baskin, and now the Tiger King essentially is in prison. But this actually, that docuseries brought a lot of attention back to it, and we are a little bit closer to banning the ownership of
big cats. This is nationwide. It's not
just
certain states, because I feel like we talked about this a few weeks ago.
We haven't talked about Tiger King in a while. But no, that's super interesting. I mean, the fact that both parties, right, can kind of come together on this, both Republican and Democratic, I think that's interesting. So the Capitol Hill, the House, whoever they are, I don't really know. They're definitely working on things other than just who is going to be the next president.
Yeah, which is good, right? And I guess that's the what's in the news. What are their constituents, you know, talking about, asking them, requesting?
There's still lots of other things going on.
Lobbying goes on there. I don't even claim to have a very good understanding of what all is involved there, nor do I really want to know. But,
but
sometimes good things
exciting.
Do happen.
We do not need lions and tigers being owned by your neighbors.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly believe that is not appropriate.
Okay,
so I'm excited for that.
Let's jump into holiday hazards, because we need to get this in before Christmas happens or other holidays you might be celebrating.
So, yeah, as part of our Healthy Pet Happy Life, we're going to talk holiday hazards. So, we have a blog basically posted on our website about holiday safety tips. And at the bottom of that blog, there's actually a video from one of our very own veterinarians, Dr. Heather Williams, out of our Camden Village location, who talks about some of these things through video form as well.
So again, you go to our website, myjvet.com, and it's at the bottom of the website.
No, you can search for it, or you can go to blogs and just type it in. So holiday hazards or holiday safety tips.
Okay.
So right, mostly.
I'm flying blind here, so here we go.
All right. So holiday safety tips, right? So basically, our blog just basically lists a couple of things, right? So dangers that your pet could encounter, both your dog and your cat, and honestly, some of your like other small animals like ferrets and that kind of
thing. So let's talk about the Christmas tree.
So the Christmas tree, if you have a live tree, the water can be dangerous.
Okay, can get stagnant and potentially be a little bit toxic or cause GI upset.
Yep. So the preservatives and the pesticides as well that they're using on those, your pet could drink those. So of course, use a covered, they sell actually covered water stands. So your pet doesn't have free access like a water dish. Again, if you have a live treat, the needles and the oil can be toxic and irritating. So the oil
or the mouth
from pine trees, they can cause upset GI systems, excessive vomiting or excessive drooling, vomiting, that kind of thing.
If you have a cat or a tree climbing dog.
Yes. So always secure your tree or put it in a place that the tree is not going to fall on your pet or your family. Yeah. That's actually a pretty serious one. It happens more often than you would think. That the pets end up climbing the trees and they do tip over.
The Christmas lights. I don't know that I've ever seen a pet that either bit through a Christmas light on the tree or the cord going to it might be more likely, but certainly that could happen.
Yeah, so speaking from experience, my dog, it wasn't a Christmas light, but my dog, when he was a puppy, he chewed on a cord to an old VCR. Okay. And he had to go to ER because he had a bunch of these little shreds of electrical wire in his GI system.
And then I guess like the ornaments, the tinsel, maybe the ornament hangers could act as like a foreign body, could be ingested, right?
Ornaments. Some people like to make ornaments, right? So like you see it on Hallmark movies all the time, stringing popcorn.
Did y'all ever do that growing? We did. We strung popcorn like maybe 2 Christmases and I think we were done with it, but also cranberries.
I feel like I might have tried, but no.
Yeah.
And I was an only child essentially for the most part of my life, like during the parts where I, you know, had beliefs in
when you were a child.
White bearded men coming into my house.
Right.
But no, but if you're stringing up the popcorn or the cranberries or a combination of such, the string, right? So your pet is going to eat the popcorn or the cranberries, but also the string, and then the string can become a linear foreign body.
Just typically, I mean, it can be a problem in dogs, but cats love to play with
the tinsel
string and the tinsel and the ribbon that you left out while you were wrapping a present. Yeah. That can be a very serious problem. They get a linear foreign body. We usually have to operate on them.
Kind of going away from the tree specifically and more into some of the plants. I think a lot of people know poinsettias or poinsettias, however you pronounce it, can be severely toxic to pets, but mistletoe and holly are also on that list.
Okay.
And so, it's been a long time since I've actually had like a real live mistletoe in my house, but a lot of people will hang them over doorways and stuff. If they're not secure and they fall off and the pet ingests them, they can be pretty dangerous.
Isn't mistletoe just like a parasite on a tree?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't really know where that tradition came from, but I'm pretty sure I have seen it growing like this time of year in what is a dormant tree, and people, you know, pull over, people driving on the highway will see it, they'll stop, pull over and start snipping it off. But I don't know the purpose of mistletoe nor where that tradition came from.
Well, nor do I. Do you want to find out for us?
No, I just,
oh gosh,
I don't know.
Of course not.
Would somebody listening please email us? Dr. Reese, you do count. We will happily
accept
your submission, but I would like somebody else as well, just so I can like double check her.
Sure. So continuing on, right? So now we've done the decorations, the tree, some maybe home decorations. Let's talk more foods.
Okay.
Right?
So my mind immediately goes to like baking chocolate.
Baking, right? So people are always baking this time of year. They're making treats and gifts for other people. But dark and baker's chocolate, they have high levels of caffeine and theobromine, which are pretty toxic to pets. Dogs more so than cats because they're going to eat them, right? I don't even think I've ever seen a cat try to lick a chocolate bark.
So they can cause GI upset. They can cause hyperactivity, nervous system wise. Mm-hmm. Same thing if you drank maybe 12 cups of espresso very quickly, then you know that may cause some problems, including seizures.
So
actually,
keto diets are real big in the world right now, and so with that, it's a sugar substitute, xylitol. Xylitol basically can be really bad for dogs because it drops their blood sugar super quick, and all of these things essentially, if left undone, can be pretty fatal quite frankly. Like, if your dog ingests something, you know, a week later, you know, you might have some problems. But xylitol and the baking chocolate, I would think you need to address those things rather quickly.
Yeah, I was about to chime in and say what we would do, right? So if there was something ingested, not a foreign body, but food-wise or toxin-wise, we would consider inducing vomiting as long as that would not cause more problem coming up. So
I know we talked about this before. Is it emesis or emesis?
Emesis, for sure. if it's a like a caustic liquid, you would not. If they swallow bleach, you do not want them to throw the bleach back up.
Of course.
But chocolate, xylitol, other medication maybe.
So we were going to go there. Let's finish through the...
say how we would treat them.
The kitchen. I know, but like, let's finish through the kitchen real quick. So macadamia nuts, Dr. Reese, she made some very fantastic chocolate fudge with macadamia nuts in it.
I had a piece on the way home last night.
Thank you so much. It was very good. However, macadamia nuts in dogs can cause muscle weaknesses. So it's one of those that you wouldn't really think of, right? But you certainly should not hand your pet a handful of macadamia nuts. Yeah. One other thing, bread dough. So this is
the
kind
yeast
of
yeast in it.
Yeah, rather interesting to me, but
I bet the yeast is something like an alcohol kind of a thing, sugar thing. Maybe.
It actually the yeast continues to rise in the abdomen in the stomach, and so bloat. Yeah. Huh. So again, bloat can be very life threatening.
Yeah.
And then of course leftovers, no bones. Try to stick away from spicy, fatty foods. The best thing you can do during the holidays is continue feeding your pet food.
So we're going to evaluate at the clinic if your pet has ingested something it shouldn't. You know, do we need to try to induce vomiting? That's going to somewhat depend on when it ingested the substance and what the substance is.
Right.
And we can also give activated charcoal
into the
stomach to help kind of bind and absorb the toxin so they don't absorb it into their bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to consider blood work depending on, again, what they ingested. Do we need to look at the kidneys and liver to see where they are now and maybe double check them down the road? And then we're going to kind of treat symptomatically. Sometimes they go on IV fluids. Sometimes they go on antiemetics. Usually if we catch them quick enough, which is... kind of means you know that your pet ingested something.
You saw it there's evidence of.
Yeah, not 2 days, 3 days later because they're sick from that. Usually we can get them through that, but it's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, grapes are also on the list, not really a holiday thing, but maybe some of the dates, and I think it is kind of the same classification. Mm-hmm. What would go in? What do you call the really dense cakes? The
I call them fruit cakes. There's a name. It starts
with a
P. They've
got candied, a fruit cake is what I would call it. Candied cherries and all sorts of crazy stuff. So I think you know, some of those fruits are going to fall under that same category.
So kind of going on down the line here, and I think our blog actually kind of stops here after we get through the kitchen. But, you know, we have the tree, the decorations, the household decorations, the foods that you would be baking. Now the people, right? So to your point, medications, right? So a lot of people, even through COVID times, we're going to have visitors to our house. Maybe grandma's taking medication or auntie's taking medication and drop something on the floor or something like that. Or they leave their suitcase open in the bedroom and the dog goes in, or the cat, honestly, goes in and ingests something. So medications are pretty serious as well. Oftentimes the doses are very different, and obviously who knows what people are on medications for, but I'm thinking more like high blood pressure, cardiac disease, that kind of stuff.
Anxiety. Anxiety medications these days.
Anxiety medications, of course. Yeah. But anyways, there's a lot of that. And then as always, we've always talked about, you know, keeping your pet safe and the people that are visiting safe, reducing the anxiety and the stress associated with that.
Anxiety, yep. Fear, you know, sometimes we see some fear biting go on. Mm-hmm. And I think I shared, I've definitely had a pet like that in the past. The last thing I'm going to add to this list that I can think of is causes of pancreatitis, which are fatty foods that we feed our pet when we should not be feeding them. So that's going to be a fatty piece of ham, typically could be, you know, a fried turkey, but anything, typically it's a protein source that has fat, can easily induce pancreatitis, which is inflammation or infection of your pancreas, which tends to present as vomiting, depression, not feeling good, plus or minus diarrhea.
Certainly.
So All right. I think
the holidays are an exciting time. So have fun.
Yeah.
Definitely enjoy them with your pets, but be safe.
Be safe. You know, dote over them, include them, humanize them to a point. But be careful, because a lot of things could happen that you may not want to see the end result. So,
yep. And if you want any more information, visit our website again at mygavet.com, go to blogs, or search for holiday safety hazards or holiday hazards in the search box.
All right, let's sign out if you're ready.
Okay. Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Again, don't forget to check out our blogs on our website. Do follow this podcast specifically on People, Pets, and Vets. I actually promised my little sister, Rhonda, who does some of our marketing here, that we would talk about it. So because it is the giving season, I gave Dr. Miller a gift earlier this week.
Are we going to post that picture?
Yeah, we're going to post the picture. So yeah. We've talked about crickets and insect proteins and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So as a gift, we got to share with the whole staff
some cheddar
cricket chips.
And boy, were they something else.
They're from a company called Chirps, yep. C-H-I-R-P-S, like a cricket chirps. Mm-hmm. They weren't, you know, untasty, I guess, but it's more of a mental battle.
Yeah, they weren't bad until you knew what they were made of. And we had a couple of staff members try them. They're like, oh, they're not too bad. And the minute they found out, they're like, oh, my.
It has the consistency of like a multigrain chip, mm-hmm. right? And it has like the little flecks of seeds or whatever. Yeah, cricket legs. I don't know.
But one whole cricket goes into every chip.
Equals one cricket. Yeah, so that just the mental grossness of that. But it was a cool, fun, exciting thing. And Merry Christmas to you and the rest of the staff.
Thank you so much for that gift. I really appreciate it. So.
But yeah, now we can post that on our Instagram. So do follow us at People, Pets, and Vets so you can see the lovely photo that we took.
Awesome.
And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, guys, and happy holidays to everyone.